immersed in love, in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's prize has lost its grip on me
no more,
for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the summit, rock I stand, all other ground
through the
seeming sand, all other ground is seeking sand. On Christ the summit,
the Lord, you may be seated.
To me, the cross is a hiding place, a refuge when the storms of life come.
Loved me so much that he paid the debt in full so that he could be with me.
The cross means to me that only in Jesus' love that I am secured and complete.
What the cross means to me is unconditional love.
The cross represents the love and the sacrifice that Jesus made when he died in our place for our sins so that we can have a personal relationship with him.
No one loves me like Jesus does. No one.
This the power of the cross.
To me, the cross represents the birth of a new life. The cross tells me that he's taken care of everything, and I don't have to worry about anything.
The cross is a prevailing example of humility that brings us to our knees in repentance.
Forgiveness of my sins because of the sacrificial love of Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Until Jesus comes again, the cross to me is a symbol that reminds me that I can carry out his purpose for me.
To me, the cross represents second chances.
Sing with me.
Would he devote that sacred head for such a world as I?
Let's stand together and sing.
At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart. By faith, I received my sight.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that has been on my heart for a number of years. Today, I want to talk to you about changing the name of our church. In the spring, when I announced the third campus in Fayetteville, I said that the day would come and the moment would come that I would share with you about the possibility of changing the name of our church. It was 4 years ago, this past spring, at a leadership team retreat in my home, that one of the topics of discussion that day was the future possibility of changing the name of our church. In fact, we determined and worked very diligently that day that there would come a time, there would come a day when that needed to occur. Almost 3 years ago, we went through a study with the Soderquist Center, and the study was on Invent the Future. They helped us walk through some of this element, and they coached us that in the coming days, there would be a moment, there would be a time when that needed to occur. We know it already, but it was confirmed again. 2 years ago, everyone on my ministry staff wanted to do that. They were very committed to it. They were psyched up, pumped up, jacked up, and ready to go forward over the entire thing. But there was one holdout. There was one person who was struggling, and I wanted us all to go together. And if we couldn't all go together, we couldn't go. Well, that person had an element of influence in the church, so we felt it was very important that that person come along. And that person was me. I determined this week that the easiest way to deal with this subject is to pose for you several questions. And as I pose to you these questions, I'm going to do my very best to answer these questions within our context today. Question number one, why change the name of our church? Why change the name of our church? That is a very good question that deserves an answer. In 2001, when Pinnacle Hills Church began, we had no idea the level of success that would take place on this campus. Probably, even though we knew that it was going to be a great and exciting future, we just did not know the way that the Lord perhaps would bless it. In fact, I have a good friend of mine that told me not long ago, he said, you know, Ronnie, out of all the multi-site churches, yours is so different because you basically you're leading two mega churches. So many multi-site churches are very small venues except for the mama church. And then when the third campus would come on, we knew that we just could not keep adding names. So why should we do it? First of all, for clarity. Clarity to our community, which does not understand what we do. They do not understand that we're connected. And also for our own congregation, which does not understand that we have connectivity at times. To simplify our communication would really be a blessing. So, for clarity. But not only for clarity, for unity. For unity. What do I mean by unity? Unity in our fellowship. Us understanding we're together. Unity in our staff team, which we try our very best to do, but we know that could be done in a much more effective way. And unity of spirit. It's so important we're together in our spirit. Also, vision is another reason we need to do it. Vision is about who we are, and vision is about where we want to go. Well, we really believe that one of the ways to reach our region is to use multi-site ministry to do that. It's proven successful here. We pray it will prove success in Fayetteville, and we will go all over Northwest Arkansas in years to come if God so wills. But also synergy. Synergy which promotes and permits greater effectiveness and greater partnership and greater results. So synergy is huge. I'm convinced that leverage is not understood and used in this ministry very much at all. It's not our goal. It's just simply, it's hard to leverage one campus with the other. It's hard for us to leverage all we have and all we are to reach this region for Christ because there's this disconnectedness in name. You see, when we moved from First Baptist Church of Springdale to come up here, we could not call ourselves First Baptist Church of Springdale North in the city of Rogers. You know and I know that those city signs among some people still reach all the way to heaven. And simplicity. Simplicity. We live in a day and time when less is more. And what we do right now is very complicated. It will continue to be very complicated until we address it. So we want to turn complexity into simplicity. Let me tell you a story. Did you know that in 1961, a local businessman started a new bank by purchasing the Bank of Bentonville? Over the years, this bank has acquired and started many other banks in several communities and states. These community banks were very successful, but as they grew, their challenges grew. All of a sudden, different policies and procedures occurred in their various banks. They lacked some identity and unity that they so much desired, and they did not feel they were as consistent, as efficient as they desired to become and to be. Well, in 2003, after several years of planning, these community banks became known by the same name. They have maintained their local decision-making, and what has happened is that they now go by the very same name. And even though they have a commitment to their local community, they have now grown to have 17 community banks with 200 locations in four states and assets of over $10 billion. By the way, the name of that businessman was named Sam Walton, and the name of that bank that you know of is today is Arvest. This is a simple, local, and superb illustration of exactly what I'm talking about today. Question number two. Does the Bible speak to this? Does the Bible have anything to say about one changing a name? Do you realize that in the Scriptures, God renames people? Did you know that? He does it numerous times. I'm going to talk about just a few of those today. First of all, God changed Jacob to Israel in Genesis 32, verse 24 through 32. Can you take a moment, turn to the Word of God with me, and you will read in Genesis 32 the story. Genesis chapter 32, let's begin with verse 24. The Bible says that Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip as they wrestled and dislocated his hip socket. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he replied, "your name will no longer be called Jacob." He said, "It will be called Israel because you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, and I have been delivered. The sun shone on him as passed by Penuel limping on his hip. And that is exactly why to this day the Israelites don't eat the thigh muscle that is at the hip socket, because he struck Jacob's hip socket at the thigh muscle. Now, who was Jacob? Jacob was the grandson of Abram, or Abraham. He was the receiver of God's promise. If you remember in Genesis 12, that's where the promise of great faith was given to this one named Abram, whose name was also changed. And we're going to talk about that in a brief moment. But in that whole story there, you know who began to realize that was this guy named Jacob. Well, Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night. You know, that's nothing new for Jacob. In fact, I'll tell you, he wrestled with Esau, his brother. He wrestled with his father. He wrestled with Laban, the father of his wives. And then he also wrestled with God. You know what the name Jacob means? It means deceiver. That's exactly what he was. He deceived Esau, his brother, over his birthright. He deceived his father to receive the blessing. He lived out that name. But God said, no longer will I call you Jacob, for I'm going to change your name, because no longer is your life going to represent what your name says. I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means that you're going to strive with God. But in the end, promise and blessing will be given to you. Life struggles, but God prevails. That's a pretty important statement, because regardless of where you are in your life today or what you're facing, would you listen again? Life struggles, but God prevails. In other words, Jesus wins. God changed his name to indicate something, to indicate that he had an encounter with God, that God was going to do a new work in his life, and that God was going to give him a new future filled with blessing. But not only did he change the name of Jacob to Israel, he also changed Abram to Abraham. Over in the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, you read in verse 5 and 6, these words, please. And the scripture says, your name will no longer be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful and will make nations and kings come from you. Do you know what the name Abram means? It means what? Exalted father. And he was going to change it from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of many nations. That's what it means. Do you understand that today? Now that you might. But listen, why did he do that? A new work of God had taken place in his life. Remember Genesis 12, the promise? He stepped out in faith. He left where he was and he went to where God told him to go, even though he didn't know where he was going. He got a new identity. And he was also given the promise of future and new blessings. Oh, there are numerous accounts of Scripture. I won't read any more of the text itself. But I mean, hey, do you realize that there were other quick references to that? How about God changed Simon to Peter? Did you know that? God changed Saul to Paul. Surely you realize that, many of you that have been around the Bible a while in your life. And then God changed not my people to what? To the people of God. There was once a time when you were not the people of God, but now you are the people of God because of God's great work of grace on the cross of Jesus Christ. So you weren't his, now you are his. That's a work of grace. So God changed the name. So there are any commonalities among these name changes? Absolutely. God changes a name because of these three reasons. First of all, here's the commonalities. A fresh encounter with God took place. They had a new experience with God. Secondly, because a new identity is needed. God wanted them to have a new identity. He changed their identity. And by the way, let me just say to all of you, parents and future parents, when you name your children, take it very seriously. Don't just throw it out there because it's cool. In the scriptures, people lived out their names and what the meaning of their names were. Kind of scary, isn't it? And then also because a new future is before them. A new future is before them. Therefore, without any question at all, the Bible speaks to the subject of changing a name. Question number three. What about our history? What about our history? This is going to be really news to many of you today. But do you know that on February the 19th, 1870, our church began in a Springdale home not far from the present location of the AQ Chicken House? How many of y'all know where that is? That's right, a few of you. Some of you are too cool to vote. It was formulated by six men and seven women, began the church, and the church was organized, and it was named Liberty Church. That's what they named it. They named it Liberty Church because Liberty was the name of that area of Springdale. And they named it Liberty Church. In December of 1886, just 16 years after they had begun, our name was changed from Liberty Church to Springdale Church. In May of 1890, that was just 4 years later, it was noted that the church was also known as Springdale Baptist Church. On July the 9th, 1899, the Springdale News denoted that the church building was dedicated in Springdale as First Baptist Church. However, church records were lost from 1895 to 1915. Some of you might remember that. So much of this period in history is very, very unclear. But here's what we do know. On August the 12th, 1899, Washington County records talk about a sale of property by some of the trustees of the church. And the warranty deed, which is a legal document, refers to the church not as First Baptist Church, but as Springdale Missionary Baptist Church, formerly known as Liberty Baptist Church. So bottom line is, we're not sure what our name was then. It's very confusing. But in 1910, we know that the church was noted as First Baptist Church. How do we know that? Because the First Baptist Church excluded 41 members. They excluded them, kicked them out. And that group of 41 became known as the Second Baptist Church. Very creative. But interesting in history, that is just amazing. This group of 41 that we might laugh at the name maybe, this group had a theological conviction, and that's why they left, and that's why they were trying to get the church to change, and the church wouldn't change. You know what the theological conviction was? The Second Baptist Church wanted to be a Southern Baptist church, and they no longer wanted to be identified as a landmark Baptist church. Now, what is a landmark church? A landmark church is a church that basically believes their church is the only way, man. You get it here, you don't get it. And a landmark church also believes that the only ordinances that ever need to be observed are the ones that are right there among the landmark Baptists. Well, let me tell you a great part of this story. In 1914, just 4 years later, these two groups reunited. How about that, huh? Have you seen that lately? They did. And that 41 became 77, so 77 members returned. And from that day on, in 1914, the church was no longer a landmark church, but at that time became a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. And by the way, The Presbyterians bought the church building for the Second Baptist Church. You know those Presbyterians, they always got the money. But let me summarize for you a moment. To the very best of our knowledge, our church has held the following legal names. Liberty Church. I'm talking about legal names. I'm talking about legal names. Liberty Church, Springdale Church, Springdale Baptist Church, Springdale Missionary Baptist Church, and First Baptist Church in 1910, 100 years ago. Additional to these names, we have referred to ourselves in church minutes, meaning, you know, people who take church minutes are usually people that know what's going on in the church. So they not only refer to themselves as one of those five names that were legal names that actually had to have documentation to be changed, but they referred to themselves in nine other additional names. They refer to themselves in the minutes as Liberty Baptist Church, Landmark Liberty Baptist Church, the Baptist Church of Christ worshiping at Liberty, the Baptist Church at Liberty. Get this one, the Liberty Baptist Church of Christ. Springdale Baptist Church of Christ. Boy, this was a stunner this morning early. Springdale Church of Christ. Whoa, I bet the Church of Christ brothers, when they heard that today, whoa, that ouch. And then Baptist Church of Springdale. And then the last 9 years, we've referred to ourselves as the First Baptist Church of Springdale and the Church at Pinnacle Hills. So in reality, in our 140 years of history, we have changed our name at least five times and have referred to ourselves by an additional nine names. Let me give you a historical observation. Change has always been a part of our church's DNA. History shows that we've never been fearful of change. Anyone that would say, well, our forefathers wouldn't want us to do that, obviously don't understand our forefathers. Our forefathers were very driven to change. They changed the name all those times within the first 50 years of history in the church. Question number four, what are our options for the future? Well, every time we create a campus, we can just keep adding a name. That's an option. Or the other option is we can create a name that all of our present and future campuses will operate by for the future. That leads me to my fifth question this morning. What is the best solution for the future of our church? You know, as pastor, I evaluate every decision I make by one simple question. What is best for our church? That drives me. All the time it drives me. And we believe, our staff team believes, our board of directors in our church believe, several lay people that I brought along in the course of this believe. We believe the best solution for the future of the church is to change the name of the church so that all present and future campuses can be known by this new name and fall under this new name. That leads me to question number six. What will be the new name of our church? A few weeks ago, God provided an insight and brought peace to me and release to me in my heart about doing this. All this time I knew we needed to do it. I was ready to do it. I'd back off. Several weeks ago, probably more like 2 or 3 months ago, something occurred in one of our team meetings on a Monday with our leadership team. Because you see, I was really challenged. By no means do I ever want to compromise theologically what we are and who we are in this pluralistic day of religion. But one day in our meeting, Nick brought an insight for us. And he said, you know, what we need to understand is we're not simply changing our name. We are strengthening our identity. And that's what we began to understand and to grasp. On that day, it was like the drapes were pulled back in my mind for me to see and know that it's much deeper than a name change. But this gave us an opportunity, a venue, a manner in which we can strengthen all of our identity. So I want to tell you a story. I want to go back to my home on April the 10th, 2006, a little over 4 years ago when our leadership team of our staff had a one-day retreat at our home. A name change for the church was one of the major topics for that day. The growth of Pinnacle Hills, which were again 2006. We started in 2001. We were in our fourth year, moving toward our fifth year. The growth of Pinnacle Hills, the complexity of communicating who we were with two campuses, the desire for greater simplicity, and a genuine desire to do what was best for the church literally led us to this place of concern. We discussed several names. Some of those names were provided pre-meeting by our communications team. We also realized that web domains had to be extremely important, but securing a web domain for a church name that's never been used is pretty well impossible. Now, when we began Pinnacle Hills, as I said earlier, we could not come up here and call ourselves the First Baptist Church of Springdale North. We identified it as Pinnacle Hills because at that time, this area that you note at the top of this hill over here, where the embassy is, at one time, all it was said is that maybe one day that would be called Pinnacle Hills. However, there was nothing there. In fact, we were like the second or third building out of this entire region. Where this church sits was a barn and a lot of land with a bunch of cows. However, there was nothing there. Not even a contract for anything to be there. Just a hope, a prayer, and a vision. So the location of where our church was actually, which is right over there, that was going to be a business community called Pinnacle Point. Village on the Creeks was already here, up and going, which brought attention to this area. The interstate had occurred. And with this, the location of the church could have been called Pinnacle Point. However, I didn't like the name Pinnacle Point. I liked the name Pinnacle Hills. So I saw a hill, and we named it Pinnacle Hills, even though we're in the valley. And now the entire area is called Pinnacle Hills. So here we are now, the First Baptist Church of Springdale and the Church at Pinnacle Hills, which is a mouthful in about 7 seconds of a 30-second spot. Additionally, we have two websites. Way too many labels to name on this platform today. It was unbelievable when they told me the number. I can't remember it, but it was unbelievable. Different tags used in this, creating challenges for communication internally and externally to our community, which does not understand us. How many times I've been asked, how do you get from Springdale to Pinnacle Hills? I drive. No! Bro, it ain't that far. Get a car. Even on April the 10th, 2006, in my home, we knew that these challenges would not cease, but they would escalate. And one day, if we didn't address them, they could cause major disaster. But it came back to the question, what web domains were available? So here we were, several of us brainstorming. We were on the phone at the same time to our web designer, Brian Armas, getting him to see what was still available, getting progress on those that we even already knew about. And one of the names that they had provided for us prior to our team meeting, we called Brian about that day. You see, that website had been under auction. What happens is companies buy websites that they never intend to use, and they make money off selling the websites. It was being auctioned off, and the price was rising daily. It was an excessive amount of dollars. It was so many dollars, we would have never even considered ever buying that website and that web domain. On our retreat, I called and I asked Brian. I said, Brian, would you check that domain's availability one more time and where it was on that particular day? He had just checked. But on that day, April the 10th, 2006, when Brian checked on it again, it was realized, Pastor, I'm not believing this, but it's no longer for auction. The domain had expired. Now, only God would have this because the company who owned the site and conducted the auction, they let their legal ownership of the web domain expire. Therefore, the web domain that was going to be sold for countless thousands of dollars had reverted back to a company that sold it originally called Register.com. Therefore, a reasonable and an affordable amount of money could secure the web domain for us. Obviously, I authorized it immediately, and I said, hey, get it, because it can be an option for us. By no means did we decide on that day, this is who we are, this is what we're going to become. We had to go through a 45-day waiting period to make sure that would pass, because that company could have come back and said, hey, that was our website, we really wanted our web domain. The bottom line is, God was working and there was a miracle of God going on. For over 4 years, we have prayed about, thought through, deliberated about what we're going to share with you today. We've exhausted other names. We've gone back over hundreds of details, hundreds of times, in hundreds of man hours. We've even thought about calling ourselves the First Baptist Church of Northwest Arkansas, but we thought that might appear to have a little air of superiority and arrogance. What I want you to know is that this has been no sudden, quick decision at all. So here goes. The name we're sharing with you today that we will become represents the icon and the image for all of Christianity. It lifts up the image and the universal symbol of all Christianity to the world. The secular world wears it and even likes it, even though they don't believe in its power. It is the symbol for all Christianity. It is what Jesus is about. It is what Jesus has always been about. And it's why Jesus came to die for our sins. You cannot get any straighter theologically about it, nor any more gospel-centered in it. So, are you ready? So we're releasing today that the new name for our church will be Cross Church. Cross Church. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful word. The web domain we secured over 4 years ago, which is an absolute miracle of God, here it is. Again, we're talking about the image for all of Christianity, guys and girls. You know what it's going to be and is? Crosschurch.com. We own it. It's ours. It's a miracle. Back in 2008, I did an 8-week series on the cross. At that time, I thought I was going to release the name, but I backed out. Something told me the time wasn't right. But I want to recall just a few statements I made back then and a few quotes I gave you. For example, the cross is the universal symbol of our faith and all Christianity. How about this statement? Theology has to be developed within an earshot of the dying cry of Jesus from the crucified God, Jürgen Moton, author. The statement, no theology is genuinely Christian which does not arise from and focus on the cross. John R. W. Stott's The Cross of Christ. I told the story about how years ago at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, due to various things going on, its president said on his deathbed, boys, keep the seminary lashed to the cross, meaning fastened to the cross. I love John R. W. Stott's word about Paul's obsession. He said Paul's obsession was with Christ and his cross. D.A. Carson in The Cross and Christian Ministry shares that our vision for everything will change when we begin to grasp the centrality of the cross and the gospel of Christ. Why is that? Because the cross calls us to a selfless life and a radical commitment to take the gospel to the nations. Therefore, make no mistake about it, we are a cross church. We are a community of faith that is built on the message of the cross. So question number 7, what will this look like? What I want to do for a moment today is I want to walk you through our church signs. For example, sometime real soon, at our Springdale campus, the church sign will look just like what you see on the screen. Cross Church. And it will say, First Baptist Church of Springdale Campus. That's the name of that campus. And the website name. Also, Pinnacle Hills. What will the sign say out in front of Pinnacle Hills? It will say this. It will say, Cross Church, Pinnacle Hills. That's all it will say. And crosschurch.com. And this week, we pray that the following sign will show up at our Springdale location because they don't know yet who's coming. But it will look like this. So if y'all would bring that up. It will say Cross Church Fayetteville, future home, January 2011. And by the way, the tentative date for the beginning of that campus where they will begin services will be Sunday, January the 16th. Now with this, I want to bring you along on a website. We have been working on this website. And it's taken a real team of people to do this. And I just want to stop here today and say our staff team has been unbelievable. Our ministry team has been great. Our support team has been great. Our communications team has been phenomenal. That group with Zach Kennedy and Brian Armas and Lance Marr, Andy and Sean and Kevin Sum and Nick and just a bunch of others that have been involved with this whole web mentality of trying to get us ready. This website that I'm going to show you briefly will be up sometime tonight or tomorrow morning by 6. But I want to encourage you, once it's up, you need to get on it. And you need to camp out there a long time. If you say, oh, I don't know about the web, get somebody that knows it and go with them, all right? But I want you to bring it up for us, guys. You got it up? If you would, please help me out. There you go. That's a little bit of image. It's hard for you to see where you're sitting, obviously. But if you'll see in the upper left-hand corner, that logo is a logo we formulated many years ago. And then we have three campuses, Springdale, Pinnacle Hills, and Fayetteville. And then there are like 5 banners that will go across the website. These obviously will change along the way, but the first several weeks it will look like this. Because this is exactly what is happening. First Baptist Church of Springdale, the Church of Pinnacle Hills, is now Cross Church. We've got to do a real hard work on our community, helping them to understand that. Then notice the next banner. The next banner becomes this, Cross Church, changing our name, strengthening our identity. Galatians 6:14. Third banner is simply an interview. This is going to be released on Twitter today, right after this service, as well as on Facebook. It is a 5-minute informal interview of Nick sitting down with me answering simple questions that will help you answer the vast majority of questions you might have. The fourth banner is a banner that simply is going to promote what we're doing at that time, which we're now in this Big Faith series, even though I'm not in it today. That will obviously begin back next Sunday. And then the next banner is a banner that simply when you want to watch the service online or you want to go back into the archives and watch, you can do it. In fact, this message here today will be online tonight. We're moving that forward quickly due to the nature of the conversation. And then you will see our missional vision of reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Christ. On the left bottom side of the website, you'll see select a campus, meaning there will be locations and places and times of all that. You can get to either campus, whichever one you want to look at and see. There will be a broad perspective of all of them. In fact, tonight in our worship service, I'm going to camp out a little bit on this website and bring you along. I want to encourage you, if you're not involved in a Bible study on this campus, through one of our community groups, I want to encourage you to go to our Springdale service tonight at 6 o'clock, because I got a lot more to say about this in this. And you know, one of the great things about this, it has forced our entire team to say, okay, what's going to be important to us? You know, if we're going to re-identify ourselves, why don't we simplify? So what are we really, really committed to? And what does it really need to be called when we do it? It's been a tremendous experience. The five things we have come, that we know that we are, if you were to cut us, this is what we bleed. This is our DNA of who we're really about. We are about worship. We are about small groups. What are small groups? Anything smaller than in one of our bigger rooms. That's what a small group is. We want our people to be in small groups. Volunteer. We believe everyone ought to volunteer. We use the word volunteer versus serve, because volunteer means you can go in and out. Serve means you might endure to the end and see if you can get saved. Then, the next one would be the theme of missions. And then another one would be partnerships. Oh, listen, today what I want to do is that I want to spend just 2 or 3 minutes with you here, and I want to show you this, because if you were to go to these, I'm going to show you 3 of these 5, because what you're going to see here when I show you each one of these, and I'm going to come in and out of them, make a brief comment, and go in the next one. You're going to sense a new feel. You're going to see a new look. You're going to all of a sudden see your church condensed where you as a layperson can understand it in a way you've never understood it before. In fact, I guarantee you, I'm going to educate many of you today about your church more than you even know today by the simple next 3 or 4 minutes we're going to give to you on our web. Let's start with just one of those pieces today. Let's begin with the piece volunteer. Here you are on the website, you punch volunteer, and this is what rolls, and then we'll link it to several things and ways you can volunteer.
If you want a church where you can get involved, Cross Church has lots of opportunities. Volunteer with Cross Kids to rock babies or teach children. Cross students needs leaders and mentors, or greet guests in the parking lot each Sunday morning. During the holiday season, join hundreds of other members to provide a holiday meal to thousands of hungry families in our community. If you are a gifted teacher, consider leading a small group. Volunteering is a great way to meet people in the Cross Church family, and the options for getting involved are endless.
Notice the feel, the look, the Cross Church family. Now let's watch what we're really about. Taking the gospel to the unreached nations of the world. Let's look at missions for a moment.
The mission of Cross Church is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. In Northwest Arkansas, Impact Clubs meet weekly at multi-housing neighborhoods to share the gospel to the underserved regions of our community. In America, we plant churches in strategic cities, partnering with the North American Mission Board. In the world, we mobilize hundreds of Cross Church members annually to be involved in short-term mission trips, church planting, disaster relief, and orphan care. Through our partnership with the Southern Baptist Convention, we support over 10,000 missionaries worldwide. You can cross the world to an orphanage in Malawi, Africa, or cross the street to a multi-housing neighborhood in your own community. Join us in the mission every day locally or on short-term missionary journeys throughout the year.
Missions. And then there might be a few that would say, well, Pastor, does this mean that we're not going to be Baptists anymore? I mean, by no means. I am more Baptist than I've ever been. I'm more Southern Baptist than I've ever been in my life. I just gave a year of my life to leading this denomination to a Great Commission resurgence and actions towards having a Great Commission resurgence. I do not know of a church anywhere in the country that has Baptist all over its name that has any greater commitment than what I'm about to show you. because I can't show you a website that I know of that is going to have more that connects us to our theology, our ecclesiology, and our missiology. What does that mean? What we believe, how we do it in our church and with others, and how we do it around the world together. So I want you to watch this whole thing on partnerships. Less than a minute, let it bless your life like it's blessed mine.
Cross Church is a member of the largest Protestant denomination in the world, the Southern Baptist Convention. We are committed to the beliefs as expressed in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. We partner with 50,000 Southern Baptist churches and congregations through the cooperative program in order to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world and to make disciples of all the nations. Our gifts help fund over 10,000 missionaries, equip pastors, plant churches, and provide relief during times of disaster worldwide. The convention also provides representation in Washington, D.C. for ethical and religious liberty issues. At Cross Church, we believe we can do more to advance the gospel working in partnership together with other churches.
You see, many of you just learned more about who we are with in partnership than you have ever known. The power of simplicity and a consistent message that can bring us together around reaching our community, our nation, and our world with the gospel. There are two other questions I want to address quickly, and then we will let you depart today. Question number 8 is an important question. When will this name change take place? When will this name change take place? Well, we will begin now to refer to ourselves as Cross Church. But it is our goal that when we come together on January the 16th, 2011, the day that we launch our Fayetteville campus, that on that day on, that all of our conversation and our signage will be Cross Church. This is also the tentative date for our Fayetteville launch. At the end of today, tonight, press releases will be sent, letters will be mailed, emails will be sent, and social networking will occur that will help people understand who we are as a church. And we believe that this change will bring us clarity, unity, vision, synergy, and simplicity. Question number 9, will we demonstrate big faith to make this happen? The DNA of our church, the forefathers of our fellowship, were always geared to change. It's in our DNA. Change not for the sake of change, but change for the sake of gospel advancement. I'm not for change for change's sake. That's stupidity. But change for gospel advancement is right under God. Big faith, it sees the need for change, is willing to change, and embraces change. You see, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, is a verse that needs to become a part of who we are as a church. It's a verse that every one of us need to memorize before January the 16th, 2011. It's a verse that you need to encourage and lead your children into memorizing, and memorize it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible so we can have consistency and not unclarity. If your children do not learn it, just tell them they can't go on the web and they will learn it rather quickly. But what does it say? But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, listen today. Give your heart and your soul to the message of the cross. You see, we are a cross church. We are a cross church. When we put these crosses up here at Pinnacle Hills several years ago, I promise you, we stated in that setting, we are a cross church. I've stated it on both campuses many, many times over these years. Why do we say that word and that phrase? Because we are a church built on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We are a gospel church. We are a church that is committed to teaching and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, beginning right here. We are a cross church. And while the cross caused us to die, it also caused us to live. And while the cross caused us to forgiveness, it also caused us to holiness. And while the cross caused us to Jesus, it also caused us to the world. So please know this morning, without any shadow of a doubt at all, we have been since 1870. And we are, and we will always be, a cross church. A church committed to presenting the message of the cross of Jesus Christ to reach the nations of the world.